Take your Bible this morning, if you would, please turn to Romans chapter number 3. If you'll find your place there in the Word of God, Romans chapter number 3. If you don't have a Bible with you, there are some pew Bibles in front of you, at least one, I think, on each row, and I would love for you to use that. Romans chapter number 3, and I appreciate the singing by the families this morning. What a blessing it was, and I hope that you'll go by. They have a table out there with some CDs for sale, and just good music. We were playing it at our house last night, the free ones on the phone, the couple of clips that were there, I like that kind of music. I really do. And so the only way to get rid of the bad music in your life is to replace it with good music, because we're musical beings. And so I hope that you'll consider that after lunch today. Romans chapter 3, let's stand together. We're going to read several verses and then we'll be seated. I love that. We're complete in Christ. Amen. We're not trying to earn our salvation. We don't have to wait till we get there to find out. We don't have to just hope God will let us in. You could know for sure today that heaven is your future home. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know what things soever the law saith, that saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he, Christ, might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, I know we read a lot there, and there are a lot of words, big words, if you will. We'll explain it as we go. And I want to preach this morning on God's plan of salvation, or I want to use the letters GPS. How many of you have ever used a GPS before? The global positioning system, whether on your phone or you used to have the devices. You all remember when we used to have the Rand McNally maps? We're running out of road. Turn to page 37. All right. All right. Keep going right. Turn to page 83. Some of you have no clue. If you're 20 and below, you probably have no clue what we're talking about. But now we have this fancy GPS. I want to use that to talk about God's plan of salvation. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us today? Holy Spirit of God, all is vain unless you show up and do a work in our midst. And God, I pray that you'll humble hearts today. Lord, I know that in a crowd this size, there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It may be a visitor. It may be a church member. But Lord, there's somebody, probably several someones here, that if they died right now, they had no clue where they'd go, no peace at all. So God, I pray they've been humble enough today to listen and heed the work that you want to do in their heart. And I pray that today, not another day, today will be the day of their salvation. Bless, I pray, and we'll thank you for what you'll do. Bless our children's church upstairs and the work that man of God, Brother McGee, will do with them today. And we pray for good results there. Help us, I pray, as we preach in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. This week, this Wednesday, in fact, my wife and I will celebrate our 20th wedding anniversary. What a blessed woman. I think about that often. But All right, but really, it's hard to believe 20 years have gone by, and so I knew that that one of her kind of bucket list things to do is to go see the redwoods and the sequoias and these large trees out in California. So I told her about it ahead of time, so she would not kind of be surprised. And she's just not the type that you say, "Hey, we're leaving tomorrow." And so I told her about a month ago. I said, "I've got some flights, and I'm going to take you to California the week of our wedding anniversary." So no kids, amen. Kids are teenagers; they can find a way to stay home. And so Tuesday morning, we'll get up at 5, or we'll leave the house at 5:45. Head to DFW Airport, get on a plane, we'll fly 4 hours to San Francisco. Now, if you're from California, I don't mean to offend you, but I feel like wearing like a trash bag or something going through San Francisco. I don't want to stop and use the toilets. I don't want to drink out of a glass. I want to see the Golden Gate Bridge. I want to see Alcatraz, probably some of our great grandparents saw that place. And I want to get out of Dodge. And we're going to go to the Pacific Coast and see some redwoods, which are some of the tallest and some of the oldest trees. Some of these trees are like a couple thousand years old. They would have been on Earth when Jesus was here. And then we're going to travel over to the Sierra Nevadas, Yosemite, and that area there, and see the sequoia trees. Now, these aren't just trees. These aren't just like, oh, yeah, hey, look. One of the trees, the base of it is 36 feet wide. That's nearly as wide as this auditorium. That's just about 10 feet shy of this auditorium. There are trees there that you could drive a car through, and they do. They've dug tunnels in them, and you can drive a vehicle. Ask Brother Grice. He broke a mirror in one time. They're pretty tight, but you can drive a car there. So they are pretty, you know, I'm not a kind of a plant tree type of guy. I'm just kind of a driving and saying, "Hey, that look good. Where's McDonald's?" You know, that type. But you don't stay married for 20 years doing what you want. That was 2 weeks ago. That was the marriage seminar. Anyways, so I rented a car. Now, I've never driven in California before. I've landed at the airport a few times at LAX and traveled through there. I went to California as a seventh grader, but I've never driven in that state. I'm just believing that there are these gigantic trees, and if I spend all this money and time, and we fly there and we rent a car, somewhere along the way, we're going to run into a tree as wide as a building. Now, when we get in the rental car, I'm going to take my phone and I'm going to set the GPS. And I'm going to set it for Garberville, California. And then on Wednesday, I'm going to set it for Napa, California, where the Mike Ray pastor's in Napa, California. He's done some of our youth camps, and we're going to try to go to church there. And I'm going to set that GPS for Fresno, California. And then I'm going to set that GPS for San Francisco. Again, I have no clue what I'm doing. If the GPS says turn right, I'll turn right. If the GPS says turn left, I'll turn left. By the way, have you ever followed GPS and it said exit right here, takes you about 200 yards and says enter back onto Highway 30, and you're like, what was that all about? What was that? So I just assume that if I follow GPS, I'm going to arrive at my desired destination later on this week. Now this morning, I want us to look at life's GPS. Each of us in here is on a journey that's going to end one day with eternity. And the road for you and the road for me is going to wind up in just one of two places. The end of your road is going to wind up either in heaven or in hell. Your road's not going to end up in oblivion. Your road is not going to end in the grave somewhere. Your road is not going to end in you becoming the next redwood tree. You're not going to be reincarnated. You, when you die, and when I die, we're going to be in just one of two places. Either you'll be enjoying a home with Jesus in heaven, or you'll be burning in the lake of fire. Now, the Bible says this in Matthew 7 and verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The word straight there does mean narrow, but it's using the word narrow also. So it also means, that word straight means strict. It means strict. There's a very strict, God is very strict about how you get into heaven. And you don't get into heaven the Baptist way and the Church of Christ way and the Catholic way and so forth. He said the way is narrow and the way is straight. The way is very strict. The Bible says in Luke 13 and verse number 22, Then he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Again, that's that same word, that narrow and very strict way. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now that's a shame. That's a shame that there are so many today trying to follow so many paths to heaven when it's just one path and it's a very simple path. The Bible says, he goes on to say, when once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. We sat in church, we fellowship, we ate from the word of God, and he said, and thou hast taught us in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's talking about there burning in the lake of fire. We'll see that here in just a few moments. Now, when you put a destination into GPS, usually, it'll give you two or three options, and you pick the route that you wish to go. I remember one time I was taking, it was Colby Dole, in fact, I was taking him up to Denton to his grandmother's place, and he needed to go by Walmart, and I was up north of Dallas, and I didn't know where a Walmart was, and I put it in GPS. I put Walmart, found one on a back road there, and we pulled into it. The problem was when we got there, it was someone's driveway. It said, you have arrived. I thought, this is the smallest Walmart I've ever seen. It was someone's driveway. It was in the middle of a brick house neighborhood. Someone got something wrong. And I'm saying to you today, there are many false preachers out there today getting it wrong. And they're offering several different routes to heaven, but the truth is, there is just one route that you can take to get you there. And the Bible says it is narrow, and the Bible says it is straight. It's very strict on how you get there. There is only one way. If you're still in Romans chapter 3 there with me, let's look at those verses together in Romans chapter number 3. Some believe that the route to heaven goes through their good behavior. And maybe that's you today. You think, well, I figure you be a good old boy and you do the best you can and you work hard and you take care of your kids and you treat people right. And one day when you get to heaven, you get to find out if you were good enough to get in. Except verse number 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You'll never be good enough to get into heaven. Well, some believe that the route to heaven goes through seeking God all the days of their life. And boy, we live in a world today where folks think, you know, me and God, we've got this all worked out. And I don't go to church, I don't live for God, and I don't, you know, but I remember when I was little bitty, I said a prayer, nothing ever changed in my life, but I said a prayer, and I still talk to God, and we work this thing out in our mind that somehow, I'm going to make it into heaven, because I still seek God kind of on my own way. The only problem with that is verse number 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. So my good behavior, my righteousness, if you will, my being right, I can never be right enough to get into heaven. My waking up and I talk to God, I pray to God. There was a man in the Bible in Acts chapter 10 by the name of Cornelius, and he woke up and he prayed to God and he sought after God, and he really, like maybe someone here today, really wanted that peace that he was missing. But the preacher man had to come by his house and tell him, there is one way to heaven, and the way is narrow and the way is straight, and it's not your prayers to God, it's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some believe the route to heaven goes through their good deeds and their good works. But yet the Bible says in verse number 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So if there's someone today who thinks, well, I'll be good enough, or I'll be ethical enough, or I'll be moral enough, or I'll work hard enough, or I'll attend enough church, or I'll go through the sacraments, or I'll be baptized, or I'll give enough offerings, or I'll do something, as long as I do something better than the fella on the news, surely he has to go to hell, and surely I'll get to heaven. There's only one way to assure the fact that you'll go to heaven one day, and the way is narrow, and the way is straight. When I was in secular college, I remember them telling us when we would go to these I forget what they're called now, kind of tutoring classes, but it would prepare you for some of the major exams, and they would kind of give you some ideas about how to handle the major tests that were coming up. And they would tell us that when you see words like always and never and things like that on like true and false, then it most likely is going to be false. And looking back now at secular college, they were probably teaching us there are no absolutes. There are absolutes. It's found absolutely in the Word of God. But God is giving some absolutes right here. From verses 10 to 12, he says, none, not one, none, none, all gone out of the way, none that doeth good, no, not one. The truth is, we were all born sinners. Look at verse number 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Our righteousness, our church attendance, our family name, our good deeds, our religious ceremonies will never, never, never take us to heaven when we die. Amen. What will take us to heaven is realizing that we are sinners and that we cannot save ourselves, so we need a Savior. Amen. Look at verse number 19. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. In the Old Testament, there were moral laws, there were dietary laws, there were ceremonial laws, and a lot of that stuff, the ceremonial law, applied to the Jewish people. But if you just took the word law, of course, we look at the Word of God as the law of God today, from Genesis to Revelation. If God said it, that settles it. But if you just look at the law like we do with a kid, the Ten Commandments. We're not going to go over the Ten Commandments, but if you're here today and you think, no, I don't think I'm a sinner, I don't believe I was born a sinner, all you have to do is read the Ten Commandments. And you realize, honor thy father and thy mother. Amen? I used that on one of my kids the other day. Not going to tell you who, not going to tell you what it was all about, but one of my kids likes to drive like me. And I drive kind of. But he or she, whichever it won, I'm not going to tell you which one, I have to remind them, I am 44. To which Miss Ogden says, that's no excuse. You should slow down too. You're setting a bad example. Put your phone down. And I say, I am 44. I have experience. I am a kind of minor NASCAR driver. And you are not. And I threw out Bible. I got all preacher on. I said, honor thy father and thy mother. And you need to be doing that when you drive. Amen? Now, here's the thing. Every one of us in here have had a time we did not honor mom and dad. I'm not talking about you just happened to be the worst kid in the family. I'm not talking about you did something horrible, took all their furniture down to the pawn shop and sold it. I know people who have done that. That's wicked. I know people who have done that. But what I'm talking about is, I guarantee there's time you disobeyed mom and dad. So let's just stop right there. That's just one law. And we all say, yeah, I have disobeyed mom and dad. Why? Because we have the sin nature, the Adamic nature, the fallen nature, the depraved nature. We were born with that. and we're born knowing there is an innate knowledge of God, an inward knowledge of God, and there's that innate knowledge that's why the pagans of the world, they worship the mountain and they worship lightning, and because they know there's a God they answer to somewhere. And friend, you and I answer to the same God they will one day, and it's not the mountain God, it is the God of the mountain. It's not the lightning God, it's the God of the weather. And one day it's Jehovah God, it's the God, creator God, it's the God that created you and I. We will stand before Him one day. And we will not stand there and say, but look how many times I went to church. But look at my giving record. But look at my family name. But look what mama did. Look what daddy did. All He's going to be looking for is, does the shed blood of Jesus Christ cover your sins? In verse 19, the Bible says, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. And there's that word all again. All the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And we wouldn't know what sin was. I could not stand up here and give you my opinion on sin. We would have to take the Word of God and show you. That simple one, honor thy father and thy mother, that's a pretty good one right there. And that's enough for all of us to break just one law. By the way, if we break just one, that's enough. That qualifies us as sinners. It proves our sin nature. So it says, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. I cannot do anything right enough to get into heaven by in and of myself. So when we punch in heaven as our eternal destination, only one way will truly be biblically, truly correct and declared, and that is found in verse number 21. But now, all right, He just gave us about 10 verses where He told us how bad we were. But now, the righteousness of God. By the way, that's what we're looking for. Not our own righteousness, but His righteousness. The Bible says about Jesus, about what God did to Jesus, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Adam's sin was passed down to us, Romans 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin, the sin seed is passed through the seed of man. That's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin to be the sinless Lamb of God. But you and I were born sinners, lost and on our way to hell. And we need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. But Adam's sin was placed upon us. But here's the good news. The sin of all mankind, everyone that's ever been born, was placed upon Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And He died and He rose again as He said He would. Victorious over death. Victorious over hell. Victorious over sin. Victorious over the devil. And there will be a crowd that will accept that payment. And the Bible says, few there be that find it. And there will be a crowd that attempt to make their own payment for their sin. And many and broad are the way that leads to destruction. And many there are that will enter therein. The Bible goes on to say, in verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. That's how we get it. Unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. We all have that sin nature. But the Bible says all them that believe can be saved. You're not good enough to not need to be saved. You're not bad enough that you can't be saved. You're not rich enough to get yourself into heaven. You're not poor enough that God's going to feel sorry for you and just let you into heaven. Jesus paid a debt that we owed because we had a debt that we could not pay. And all you have to do by faith is ask Jesus to save you, forgive you of your sins, repent of your sins, turn to Christ. And friend, the Bible says, unto all, upon all. Hey, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible goes on to say, being justified freely by His grace. Salvation's by grace through faith. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption, or being redeemed, is to deliver a captive. It's a price that is paid. And again, in verse 22, He says, by faith of Jesus Christ. Verse 24, He says it's found in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That same word is the same word used for mercy seat. And that means that God is satisfied. Jesus' death satisfied our sin debt on the cross of Calvary, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. There it is again. That he be the justifier of them. That means that Christ is able to declare us righteous, but not because of anything we did, but because we put our faith in a righteous, holy Lamb of God. Salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. Let me give you three quick thoughts about God's plan of salvation or about GPS. Turn to Luke chapter 16, if you would, please. Three quick thoughts. And I'm not just preaching to visitors. I certainly want you to know that you've been born again, and there no doubt are some visitors here that are saved. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, I'm preaching to church members also, because we hear it and we hear it and we hear it. And it may be today is the day God works on your heart and you realize, I need to quit hiding this thing. I've got nothing spiritual in me because I've never truly been born again. Three quick thoughts about God's plan of salvation. Number one is this: determine where you want to wind up when you die. Determine where you want to wind up when you die. That is left up to us. Aren't you glad we have a free will? God didn't make us robots. God didn't pre-choose. He didn't pre-elect. He didn't say, well, you get to go to heaven and you have to go to hell. He didn't do that. That's not in the Bible. Determine where you want to wind up when you die. Let me give you a sampling of each. Luke chapter number 16 and verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now let me pause there and say this. Where this rich man went for eternity was not determined by the fact that he was rich. Where this beggar went for eternity was not determined by the fact that he was a beggar. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom, without getting into all that today, Abraham's bosom, as we see it, as we know it today, is heaven itself. I've been there when born-again Christians passed away. I've been in the room. My wife and I have stood there in the room with saints of God that passed away. And I thought, man, what an awesome thing. How many angels are in this room right now? I felt a bump. No. How many angels are in this room right now that just took this person's soul to heaven? Man, that is wonderful. And the Bible says here that the beggar died, was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. See, that rich man, I guess, put his faith in his riches and didn't put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived his life the way he wanted to live it. It was all about him making money, running his career, having things his way. And he never humbled himself and said, you know what, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. That beggar woke up every day and had to beg. And he was sick, and the dogs licked on him. And just a filthy, nasty life. But yet at some point, somebody told that man about Jesus Christ. At some point, that man said, hey, it may stink down here, but I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I may live under the local bridge in Jerusalem here, but friend, I've got a mansion in heaven. I may sleep on the streets here in my town, in my city, but friend, I'm going to walk on streets of gold one day. Well, the rich man said, if he lived in 2019, you know what he'd be thinking? Man, I wish that preacher would shut up so I can get back to my social media. Man, isn't it about lunchtime? No concern for his soul. He had it all figured out. He had it together. And the Bible says, but he died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You may be one of those. I know it's East Texas. I know we're not this type of people, but maybe you're here today and you're one of those that's like a little misprint. Or maybe you're one of those that's a Mr. Got It All Together and people disgust you and you just, you know, and all these folks are below you. I'll tell you what, when this rich man was burning in hell, he had a leper. He said, I don't mind if the leper dips his finger in water and comes and puts his finger on my tongue. Right. He was just tormented. Right. And the Bible says Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, once you're out in eternity, there is no changing where you'll be. Then he said, I pray thee, this is a fellow in hell, verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Don't you let these compromising preachers, don't you let them fool you into thinking there's not a literal burning lake of fire, because it's still in the Bible. Amen. It's not comfortable to preach. It's not convenient to preach. It's not the type of sermon that's going to build a crowd. But we're responsible for giving the truth. And I'm warning you, friend. I'm warning you. You may drop dead at 30, you may drop dead at 40, at 50, at 16, at 80 years old, but the road is going to end somewhere. Only one of two places, heaven or hell. This fellow in hell, he didn't say, well, all right, I'm here, I'll wait for my buddies and we'll have a good old time. He said, would you please send somebody to my family's house to tell them about Jesus? You may know someone who died and didn't believe in God, didn't believe in Christ, and in your mind you're thinking, maybe that's where they are. I'll just go see them. I promise today they're begging. Would you listen? Would you heed the work of the Holy Spirit? Would you be born again today? Amen. Determine where you want to wind up when you die. Secondly is this. Trust the map. Trust the map. There are so many today that think it can't be that simple. Hey, trust the map. No, I've got to do something. Trust the map. No, when I was growing up, I had to go to these classes. And no, trust the map. No, they baptized me. No, hey, trust the map. When I get to California in a couple of days, I know where I want to head. So I'm going to put in that destination. And whatever the map tells me to get me there, I'm just going to trust some little box. You say, what is the map, preacher? Let me give you several verses. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Straight is the way, narrow is the way. And Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You'll not come here through your pastor. You'll not come here through your priest. You'll not come here through your good works. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 6, in verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death. That's perishing in hell for eternity. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Here's the way again, through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Hear this now. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. To be saved means, you know, if my baby boy was on the roof here and he's about to fall off, I saved him from falling. I saved him from hurting himself. And God says, when you die, you're either going to heaven or hell. And if I don't save you, you're going to wind up in the lake of fire. If you do not trust me as Savior, there will be no saving. There will be no salvation. You'll spend an eternity burning in hell. Preacher, what do? God's plan of salvation. Number one, you got to decide today. where you want to wind up when you die. Secondly, we have to trust the map. And if Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, then that's the only way. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8 and verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Determine where you want to wind up when you die. Trust the map. And then, you know, the third thing we have to do is listen to the voice. Listen to the voice. Doesn't matter if you're listening to music or whatever in your vehicle, that little voice comes on and interrupts your song. In 100 feet, turn left. They normally say that when you're passing the road, right? Like, well, you know what you've got to do today if you're going to wind up at the right destination? You got to listen to the voice, and it's not just the voice of the preacher. It's the still small voice of God. I grew up in church, but it wasn't until I was 21 years old that I realized there's something missing in me. You know what I don't understand, and I'm talking to church members right now. I don't understand why you'd battle with this thing over and over again and not get it settled. I've pastored here for nearly 10 and a half years now. I never one time, Brother Trent, stood up a church member and said, everybody look here. Bless God, they taught Sunday school all those years. They weren't saved. Look here, they came today to get saved. They were a bus worker. Look at them. No, friend, we'll be rejoicing. Because that's a painful way to live, to doubt your salvation, and it's going to hinder your Christian growth. I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation, but friend, since that day in 1997, I guess it was 96, but that I remember the day I was sitting right there where Dean is, in the old pews, in the old makeup of the building there, and my dad preached, and I was under conviction, and God had been working on my heart for a couple of months about my salvation, and then Dad gave the invitation, and I thought, well, I'll give him some time to talk. I'll give him some time to ask the questions, and I did. And when he was just standing there, I said, Dad, come here. And the chairs that used to be here, his chair, and I said, Dad, I need to get saved. He didn't say, boy, go sit down. You're embarrassing me. He didn't say, oh, come on now, all these you in there teaching junior boys class, you're in Bible college. Come on now, don't tell me you're not saved. You know what he did? He said, well, let's get down here and let's open the Bible. Let's open the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And he led me to Christ. And friend, you could talk to me till you are blue in the face and try to talk me out of my salvation. You cannot talk me out of my salvation. I just want you to know that you know that you know for sure that you're saved. Listen to the voice. The Bible says in Hebrews 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. One more verse and we're done. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 2, the second part of that verse says this, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God's plan of salvation. It's time you decide where you want to go when you die. Look up here. Let's not shut it down. Look up here. If you don't decide, then you're deciding. And there's not a pastor. There's not a brother. There's not a sister. There's not a mom. Not a dad, not a son, not a daughter, not a grandparent that can change your situation once you're dead. God says, you're looking all over the place because there's a lot of stuff given out there today. And you go this way and you go that way. And God says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way. You say, how narrow is this way, preacher? It's about that narrow right there. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. If God's working on your heart, it's that still small voice of God. He's knocking at your heart's door. I know it's a crowd, and I know it's an altar call, and I know we're getting to the place where folks don't like to walk down the aisle. But I'll be honest with you. Man, when I got it settled, I did not care who thought what. And now for all these years, I've lived in total peace. And it is a good thing also if your pastor's saved. That's a good start for a church. Hey, if God's working on your heart, I'm going to start praying here in just a minute. We have altar workers. They're going to be standing up here. Grab one of them. I want you to just start walking out. I'll ask a couple questions. I'll ask you to come in a minute. We will not embarrass you. 2 or 3 minutes, I've already given you the gospel. And accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Realize you're a sinner in need of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone can be saved. But you got to determine where you want to go when you die.